mentioned down here Wednesday night that Nikolai from Belarus is coming in. I'll get him tonight in at the Detroit Metro. Bring him in, and we got some running around to do, but should be here Wednesday night for those that'll be down here, and then Lord willing, next Lord's Day. He's been here before, actually two or three times. So, but it's been a while. Okay. You know, I had the chance yesterday. I was, Anya likes to send me reports from the situation in Ukraine, and she sends me a lot, pictures, and she actually said, I wish we could talk. She said, I got so much to write, and I thought, okay, let's talk. And so we got on, it's not Zoom, it's Viber, but it's free and it's video, so we had a good conversation. But what she shares sometimes is difficult for what the people are going through. I mean, it just doesn't go away. It's constant. It's getting worse. More and more people are coming. They're desperate. This one lady, she was a deputy director of a kind of a human services organization in a particular area of Ukraine. And before the war, you know, I don't know what her workload was. It wasn't a lot. You know, domestic stuff, you know, substance abuse, you know, people in trouble, whatever, poor people. Now I just, boom, overwhelmed. We supported her for like 4 months with a group of volunteers because they were totally overwhelmed. And the Polish government stepped up, got involved in helping them in Ukraine with some funding to do what she's got to do. Now, people are doing the best they can with what they got, but what people are not, you can't give what you don't have. The people that are working, let's say, mental health on the wisdom of the world side of the street are not going to be able to impart a larger context for their lives, the situation they're in. We've said it many times before. You know, Jesus said, in me you will have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. Okay. Big John 16 and 33. It's Jesus that tells us that. In him is where the peace is found. In the world, what you're going to find? Tribulation. According to Big John 5 and 19, the whole world lies under the influence of the wicked one. What do you think that'd look like? Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 24, 6 through 8, you're going to hear of wars, rumors of wars. You're going to have pestilence. You're going to have famines. You know, natural disasters. I mean, we do have all that. It's happening all the time. Gee whiz, what's been just happening in the last week here in the, you know, in the South and Midwest with these tornadoes taking whole little towns right off the map. I would listen to people say, I thought I was going to die. I'll bet they did. The rockets attacked in Ukraine, they're not stopping. It just goes on. Like that Emerson guy, you know, in the love and respect. You know, I guess if, you know, when you really think about it, there was a time the world view was revelatory in the sense, especially in the Western cultures, people had an understanding of God. They believed God existed. But then, you know, especially after Darwin and his origins or his ascent of man or, you know, the idea that people began to think not in a revelatory worldview of God, but they did not want to retain God in their knowledge, is what we see. So people started to begin to have a worldview, all right, worldly wisdom, an evolutionary worldly wisdom to try to explain life here, that wisdom is not going to help people going through stuff. And I mean people right here in America. And here's the thing that I wanted to see. When I hear what's going on in people's lives, you know, some of it's more dramatic just because of the, whether it's a war or an earthquake or a hurricane, typhoon or whatever. But you can't minimize what people are going through right here, right now. And every generation, it says in Judges chapter 2, when all that generation, verse 10, had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he'd done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, began to serve the Baals. They forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They followed other gods from among the gods of people that were all around them, bowed down to them. They provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Demons. One generation away. That's what Reagan said about our freedoms. One generation away from tyranny. How soon we forget. Now what I'm saying in that, and the reason why I'm bringing it up, it just breaks my heart when I hear people talk about what's happening right here, right now, and the people have no hope. The good news that came into this world so that men need no longer abide in darkness came 2,000 years ago and was established. But within a generation, it's forgotten. So guess what? That means our work is cut out for us. You know, if you've been doing this long enough, I for one, I don't know, 42 years, whatever. Some longer than me, obviously. You know, I know Don, well, John, and, well, some of the others, Jed, and the veterans. You know, we had a little veteran ceremony up here. I know when our drill instructors finally put us through to the point of graduation, it seems like my senior wasn't even really at that ceremony, because why? He was picking up his new platoon. And I remember thinking to myself, and I didn't know nothing about it, after all he put us through for those weeks, and he goes right out and he's got to start all over again with hippity-hop, mob, stop, get it together, ladies, left, right, left. After all we'd been through, and he's going to go start it all over again with these clueless scumbag civilians that don't know their left from their right. Believe it or not, I felt sorry for him, and he was not a nice guy. Do you realize that every new person you meet, they could be 50 years old? If they do not know this, you literally have to start all over again. Step by step, step by step. I was telling Anya yesterday when she was explaining to me what they're dealing with, soldiers with no limbs, gang rapes, abused children in that way. Unbelievable stories. And I told her, I said, this is going to take a long time. But I've got to start somewhere. It is God in Isaiah 45. We can just turn there if you want to. Isaiah 45. God says, well, we'll look at verse 5. I am the Lord. There is no other. There is no God beside me, not Ashtaroth, not Baal. Not you. I will gird you, though you have not known me. that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting, there is none beside me. I am the Lord. There is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. It's God who created our world. It's God that allows the darkness in this world, which is easy to see, but the light has to be unpackaged. In Ecclesiastes, it said the light excels the darkness. But with every situation and every other person you'll ever run into, you know you've been there, most of you. I mean, I'm not looking at every face here. You are in that darkness because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all were only doing what was right in our own eyes, is what it says, because there's no God in Israel. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. That's what everybody does, all human beings. Because there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of the ways of death. We all did what made sense to us at the time. We didn't realize that we were sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind. You started to learn, this ain't working. And what do you do? What happens when stuff happens? Like a war. An earthquake. In Syria and in Turkey. Like in an instant, 40,000 people were dead. Just from the shaking. Once the buildings fall down and you're in them, you're gone. Or maybe you trap till you die. Gee whiz. I create. I form the light and the darkness. I make the peace and the calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. But then, you know, I like this verse. In Isaiah 42, verse 16, God said, I'll bring the blind by a way they didn't know. I will lead them in paths they've not known. I will make the darkness light before them, and the crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. You know, I'll read it here in Isaiah 61. I may go to Luke 4 because it's Jesus that quotes this passage right here. Out of Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul said today is the day of salvation. Right here, right now. The thing is, it's been in effect for 2,000 years. But just like we've seen in Scripture, even with Israel, with God's very own people that had been through so much at that time by the time they got to Judges chapter 2. In this horrendous battle to take the promised land against seven nations greater and mightier than themselves. And to participate in that initial inheritance, what they had instruction, continue to go now. You need to grow. You're this big, you know, you're only, I'm trying to use an illustration here. People might be on the tape. See, this is you, about a 12-inch size pizza. But the land is like a 50-inch pizza, that big. He said, you got to grow. And he wasn't even going to let them take the land all in 1 year, he said in Exodus 23. Because you're too small. You take all the land. He said the wild animals will take it over. They had to grow. What's that actually a foreshadowing of? The transformation, the renewing of the mind. That's why you have to start as a babe. You got to have milk. Milk of the word. Like the guy said in the movie, you know, that we were watching there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You become a baby again when you're born again, even if you're 50 years old. Literally starting all over. Woo! You know, Paul said, for me to repeat the same things to you is not grievous for me, and for you it's safe. going back to my illustration, I could, like I said, I felt sorry for my senior DI going back to have to pick up a platoon and start all over again with these clueless people that don't know their left foot from their right foot. They had their ways of teaching you which was your right and your left. Like stomping on your right foot. Boom. You'll remember which one the right one is. It's the one that hurts. I digress. To hear these stories, what people are going through, I told Anya this will take time. Well, we have to start somewhere. It doesn't matter if it's here, right? I mean, it's everywhere. You start with people right where they're at right now. Well, let's just read it. We just read it in Isaiah 61, but, you know, I'm going to just grab it. He goes into the synagogue, and as his custom was, I'm turning to Luke chapter 4. This is the fulfillment, obviously. The prophecy was in Isaiah 700 years before Christ ever even came. So it says in Luke 4 and 16, so he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he goes in the synagogue on the Sabbath, stood up to read, hand him the book of the prophecy of Isaiah. He opens the book, and he found the place where it was written, and here's the quote. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He closes the book, gives it back to the attendant, sits down. All the eyes of those in the synagogue are fixed on him. Then he begins to say, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Right here, right now. It's not future tense. It's present tense. Right here, right now. They all bore witness to him, marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is this not Joseph's son? Say what? They knew that messianic. So for that to be fulfilled in their hearing right now, that would mean you're the Messiah. It went south after that. I think I've said before, I was fortunate to be in the, quote, Holy Land in 2008. As we passed through Nazareth, we going out the other side, they said, look over your shoulder. We looked over our shoulder. That was the cliff at the edge of town. And it was a big cliff that they were going to throw Jesus off the cliff. Anointed to preach the poor. That's the poor in the spirit. Heal the brokenhearted. You know, I tried to study that out one time because it makes sense to me. Couldn't really, there's no definition for it in my concordance, my Strong's concordance. But what I studied out and found was that's not just brokenhearted because you got a Dear John letter from your girlfriend, guys. That's dysfunctional. Your hearts are broken. Our minds are screwed up. We are dysfunctional because our programming came from the world. Hence, our behavior is poor, and our feedback, our results from our actions is poor and bad, sinful, wicked, and you can't fix yourself. So he comes to do it, to proclaim liberty to captives and set at liberty those who are oppressed. He's not talking about letting people out of jail or out of prison, except the prisons they have created for themselves, prisons with no bars, because we're all captive, held captive. When the Apostle Paul said that... I'm thinking right here in 2 Timothy 2:24, servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. You got to be able to teach now, patient and humility, like starting all over. humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been what? Taken captive by him to do his will. I know a woman told Sue one time, I don't serve the devil. That woman had no clue. Not say you signed up for it. You know, we talk about the default. Look, you're either pregnant or you're not. That's pretty simple. In this life, you will serve either God or the wicked one. You don't get to choose. Well, you do, but you don't. I mean, God, here's the deal. God gives us choices, but we don't get to choose the consequences. He's already decided that. If you do not choose to serve God, if you're not born again, you are serving the devil by what? Default. Because you can't be nowhere. And that's where you end up. You don't get to decide. It's decided. We're told, God says, I set before you good and evil, life and death. Now choose life that you may live. Well, I wonder if you don't choose life. You get death. Just about that simple. These people, that was us. Well, Ephesians chapter 2, he made you alive. He says, you was dead. You were dead. Dead in what? Trespasses and sins. In which you once walked according to what? The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. That was you, Paul said before, taken captive to do his will. So when I'm hearing these things and I'm just thinking, oh man, this, where to begin? Sue and I were talking yesterday. We always talk about the scripture. And I was saying, you know what? Nobody came to me to try to speak to me, to teach me. Now, Jeff and Charlotte taught us, but I was already looking for God, searching the scriptures, and when we met them and they invited us over to a Bible study, we accepted the invitation. But my quest, my journey, it wasn't with Sue, she was in her own world of dysfunction. She assumed, and I actually did too, I was the problem. Being, you know, drinking every day can cause a problem in the marriage. And I realized if I could get my act together, it'd probably make things a whole lot better, even at home. But I started looking for God alone. Nobody came to me. Nobody tried to preach at me or convert me. I think a Jehovah's Witness did. I got thinking about my old boss, old Brown, man. I think maybe one time he might have said something to me. He was a J-Dub out of Battle Creek. But, you know, we never really got into it like any real serious discussions about it. I began to search for God. And one of the things I did in my search, I actually picked up a Bible and was reading the scriptures. I did open in the New Testament, because if I would have opened in the Old Testament, said before, I would have crashed and burned at Leviticus, no doubt about it. I would have closed it, said, they're right, can't understand this stuff. But I did open in the Gospels. And I didn't read very far, you know, starting in the book of Matthew. You get right in the Sermon on the Mount. What did I see? Well, it was Jesus teaching. And a lot of it was, you know, kind of making sense. I didn't understand all of it. But, you know, it was very interesting to me. And I thought, man, I think I'm on to something here. But it was Matthew 11 that hit me. When he said in verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly at heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that was an invitation. I wasn't even a theologian. What did I know about the Bible? But yet I could tell by what Jesus said, come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Well, that was me. He's not just talking to somebody carrying boxes down the road. Come learn from me and lay them burdens down. I realize he's talking about I'm being crushed in life. I can't bear it anymore. He said, well, come and learn from me then. You'll find rest for your soul. What do you think people want right about now in some of these disasters we've been just referred to? You can't even imagine their pain, their horror. Anya also told me that this Tamara, she's the deputy director trying to help all these people, she said, now we got another problem. Our psychologists need PTSD treatments. The helpers are overwhelmed. They're going into depression. They can't deal with it anymore. One more person coming up to them with limbs blown off or gang raped, and they're ready to jump off a bridge themselves. There is only one thing powerful enough in this known creation that is able to lift a person up from being down in that pit of utter despair. There is only one thing, and it is God. But God has his way of doing it. Now, most people, maybe it was you, most people, humans, I'm talking humans, when they're in stuff like that, or even if they're just in their own spiral down into utter despair and misery, and I've said before, I can use John and Maya's mother. She was young, 30 years old, lived in America. Hey, how can you have problems if you live in America? I've had foreigners tell me that. But in her own world, living with an abusive man, violent, drinking, and she began to drink, I think, to find some sort of peace in her life, couldn't take it anymore, and eventually just took a weapon and killed herself after keeping me up and talking with me half the night. She wasn't in a war. We weren't in the middle of a pandemic, a famine, an earthquake. She was just a regular person who couldn't take life anymore. The solution is still the same for all people everywhere, and it's God. You have to go to him. Come to me. It's an invitation, Jesus said. You who labor and are heavy laden, you who are being crossed, you who can't stand it anymore. Now, what people want, as I was just about to say, they want God to just fix it. They want God, oh, I'm coming, make it go away. The 10 lepers, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Go show yourselves to the priest. As they went, they saw they were healed. And what does it say? They kept right on going. And one turned around, threw himself down, gave thanks to God. He's a Samaritan, a dog. Jesus said, weren't there not 10 cleansed? Where'd them 9 guys go? Ah, they went to the synagogue. I bet they went to the synagogue. I bet they went to the church building. They went to the casino. They went to the club. Come and went to the golf course. Make it go away. God, fix it. He doesn't make it go away. It's pretty obvious. The bombs are still dropping. The pandemic. Oh, another variant I just heard. Somewhere over in Africa. Some other weird looking worm thing. Pretty fatal if you get it. There'll be another one. It's always been that way. There'll be another earthquake. And right now, I don't even know what to tell you what the future holds as far as... Easy now with the crazy superpowers that are rattling their sabers, watching guys saying, we will be at war with China by 2025, and with Russia. They bound together with Iran. I'm just saying. The best place and the safest place to be is in the kingdom of God that will not be shaken. That came 2,000 years ago. It's here right now. And what God does, he doesn't make it go away, but he helps us to understand with a larger context of life. He opens our minds up, strengthens us with his spirit, and rises us above it. That is the solution. And when you're talking to people, you're going to have to start at the very beginning with them. That's his way. How can I find fault with God's way? When he's the one that told us the world that we would live in would be this way. Violent. Dark. Suffering. Many say, the atheist said, well, where's your God, man? Because, see, they don't believe there's a God, and they think all this is evidence of no God. No, quite the contrary. It's God who tells us, Old Testament, New Testament, and says it's always going to be that way. But it, through a very intense process of working through trials to overcome, the genuineness of the faith is tested, that we can still find joy and peace in believing. We can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, even if the whole world's going up in flames, or your world. David said, Lord, create in me a new heart. I'm going to Psalms 51. David really blew it. And he wrote Psalms 51 after what he did with Bathsheba, resulting in the death of which he arranged of an innocent man, Uriah the Hittite. And he poured out his heart to God. Verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. Sinners will be converted to you. We offer people, teaching them about Jesus, the opportunity for a fresh start, clean heart, a steadfast spirit, a total new birth. You must be born again. Now, Ezekiel prophesied of this new birth. In verse 24, Ezekiel 36 and 24, first off, he's going to gather. Remember, the promise to Abraham was that all the families of the earth would be blessed. Now, he, in laying the groundwork in, using the shadows and types, using a physical to teach a spiritual principle, which is far greater. I mean, Jeff just laid down some things here a few minutes ago before we partook of the Lord's Supper, took us back, looked at the Exodus account, about how they had to get a lamb for a family. It had to be spotless, you know, don't break no bones, you know, all these things. And you had to put the blood on the door of your house, the doorpost and lintel, so that when that angel of death come, that was coming to destroy all the firstborn of Egypt, man and animals, it would have been them too if they didn't get that Passover lamb and put that blood over that door, because it said when the angel of death would come and would see that blood, he would pass over it. That's where they get the word, pass over. And then Jeff said he'll be laying it out next week, how Christ is our Passover because of the blood that covers us. It's all there. It's all connected. So when God scattered Israel, the prophecies were, I'll bring you back. Now when you read that, know this. It's go ye into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. He who believes it and is immersed will be saved. The go ye, bring them in from the east and the west and the north and the south to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. That is what the gathering of the scattered is, because it's for all people. Nikolai's coming, like I said, technically for some of us, some of you are too young to remember. Yes, there was the Vietnam War, that was the war of our generation, some of us veterans. But the overarching enemy was the USSR, the Soviet Union. That's who was providing the North Vietnamese with all those flying telephone poles to shoot down thousands of our aircraft and putting our pilots in prison. The overarching enemy was the Soviet Union. Nikolai would be a Soviet citizen. He would be the enemy. But praise be to the United Nations, not. Isaiah chapter 11. From the stem of Jesse, the branch would branch out and build the king. They'll be coming in. Because Nikolai was baptized into Christ, I don't remember when we did it, some years ago. He's a brother. A picture of him back there with Oleg and the other brothers in the church there, Victor and Sasha Yashnikov. Some of you know them. Because it's in Christ that we can be having fellowship and communion. If some of us have been to Vietnam, we're meeting with the saints there, and we're passing a communion tray around. You've got North Vietnamese, former North Vietnamese soldiers, Viet Cong, South Vietnamese, coming together and sharing what we just partook of here. That is the gathering of the scattering. Look at Ezekiel 36. Verse 24, I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, bring you into your own land, think Messiah's kingdom. I will sprinkle clean water on you, immersion. You shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all what? Your filthiness and from all your idols. You're baptized for the forgiveness of sins, the scripture said, in the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's going to say next. You get the gift of the Spirit. I will give you what? A new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, a tender heart, meaning not a carnal mind. I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. It's a prophecy in Ezekiel. Where are they at? Where's God's people at? Who's Ezekiel talking to? His people. And where are they at? Captivity in Babylon. Why? Because they didn't obey God. The northern kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrians in 722. That's the 10 tribes were wiped out, annihilated. But he warned the southern kingdom of Judah, if you don't get your act together, I'll do the same thing to you. Jeremiah was the one prophesying to him. You can read that. What'd they say to Jeremiah when he kept preaching them they need to repent, or what was going to happen to them? So what happened to the northern kingdom? They go, man, shut up. We are so sick of you and your doom and gloom. Well, Babylon comes knocking at the door. Nebuchadnezzar. They are in captivity now. They got their harps hanging in a tree. They can't sing. The Babylonians were mocking them, their captors. Hey, you Jews. Hey, you from Zion, sing some of them songs, man from Zion, you know. And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? In captivity. But he prophesies, I'll bring the scattered back, I'll gather you. And this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a new heart. David said, create in me a new heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. This is our hope, this transformation, this is what these prophecies are all about. God will put his spirit in us, cause us to walk in his statutes and keep his judgments and do them. And you will be my people and I will be your God. Do you realize that has never happened for Israel from this prophecy? Never. It's to this day. Not physically, because it did. It did. 2,000 years ago, the kingdom of God was established by Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. It's in effect right now. Jesus said, I've come as a light into the world that need no longer abide in darkness. 2,000 years ago. This darkness is great. I want to just walk as I close it up here through some scriptures in the book of Ephesians. Like I say, this is the message. If you are in Christ, you are chosen, according to Ephesians chapter 1. God has blessed us in verse 3 with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him. He, God, chose us in him, Jesus, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame. Chosen before, there was no Garden of Eden. Before the foundation of the world. This is so intentional. This is so intentional. And in him, verse 11 says, we have an inheritance, being predestined according to his purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. An inheritance of eternal life. And in him you also trusted when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were then sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is what? Your guarantee you're going to make it. It is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. The Holy Spirit, we're going to see it in a second, will strengthen your inner man to be able to overcome in this world. What do you think people need to hear right about now in some of the places we've already described? What do you think people need to hear right around here right now? This is the message. If you're chosen in him, not in the Calvinistic sense, but in the gospel, truth of the gospel sense, that whosoever will believeth in him, well, then you are chosen. This plan of God, this is what was predetermined from before the foundation of the world. And you can be holy without blame before him in love now. By what? Walking in the newness of life. Growing in your understanding and your faith. And if you then, through the Spirit that he gives you, put to death then the deeds of your body, he said you'll live. You have an inheritance. Peter said, kept reserved in heaven for you. Got your name on it. You were given the Holy Spirit of promise. It's the guarantee you're going to make it. Then he said, now I'm praying for you. Paul said, I'm praying for you, Christians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory, may give you now the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling. Now, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, same power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, the same power working. These are Christian people, but he's saying, look, I'm praying for you that you keep growing and getting that bigger picture. He said, I'm praying to God, give you that bigger picture. Picture of what? The hope of the calling, the riches. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? And what is that power that's working? Exceeding greatness of the power. That's all still in effect. That's got nothing to do with first century miracles. He's talking about life change. That's how God helps us overcome the darkness in this world and the things that the people are suffering. Look, it happened to them. It's not going to go away. What happened, happened. What are you supposed to do? What are people supposed to do? Just walk around and be depressed for the rest of their life because that happened to them? It's God who allowed it. It's God who created and allowed the situation. You think he just, now he doesn't care? Oh, he cares. That's why the gospel, that's why Christ came. That's why he went through everything he did. Because, what, we say we believe in Jesus, but do you realize he believed in you? He does not, he said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come. My Father and I will make our abode with you. Those scriptures cannot be broken. They endure forever. and they will never change. You were dead, but he says he made you alive. You were following the devil. But he's called us out of that darkness. No longer are we strangers or foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. Now by revelation he makes known to us that which was concealed. How by revelations, Ephesians 3 and 3. He made known to us the mystery, Paul said, as I briefly written already. Now when you read, Paul said, what I wrote, now you understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it's now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. This is the same information that needs to be shared now in 2023 with people going through all the stuff they're going through. Verse 16 says, "And he would grant you now, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit." Where? In your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What do you think your quality of life would be if you're filled with all the fullness of God? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. That's not to run faster, not to jump over a tall church building in a single bound, not to run faster than a speeding bullet. To him be glory in the church in the first century, by Jesus Christ, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Guess what that means? It's in effect right now. It's always going to be in effect. All that we just read is for us and them, anywhere, anyone we're talking to. Do you realize? I got to close it up here. Do you realize what Paul's actually saying here? Look what he says. I'm just going to close with this. Romans 8. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he called, you, me, well, he justified. Those he justified, you, me, he also glorifies. Well, what should we say to these things then? If God is for us, well, then who can be against us? Putin? Xi? Kim Jong crazy? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's a good question. It's kind of rhetorical. He means he will. Well, who will bring any charge to God's elect? It's God who justifies. Well, then who's he who condemns? It's Christ who died. Furthermore, he's risen. Who's even at the right hand of God? Who make intercession for us? Isn't that nice to know you got Jesus making intercession for us? Well, then who will separate us from the love of Christ? How about some tribulation? Maybe distress, persecution, famine? How about some war? Okay? Nakedness, peril, earthquakes, whatever. As it's written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We're like counted like sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we were more? We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For Paul said, look, I'm persuaded. Neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think that ought to just about cover it. Nothing. The only thing not listed there is you. You can leave anytime you want. Why would you do that? This message is still in effect. We have to be able to communicate, start with the basics. Now, God will work it because Jesus said, look, nobody can come to me unless my Father draw him. God is watching. God is searching the hearts. God is there. He's allowed this whole thing because he's the one that provides a deliverance. Can lift us up to overcome this world, even our faith. That's what he gives us, the power to do it. That's the message. It doesn't change, and that's what we have to communicate. It needs to be in us first, though. But that's what we have to share with people. And I told Anya, This will take a while. Thank you for your attention this morning.